in verses 13 through 16. The psalmist said, when Israel came out of a people of strange language. What I want you to understand is that there's something that had gone on in the history of Israel, and it was foretold long before it ever occurred. Genesis chapter 15, verse 13, he said, that is, God said unto Abraham, know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. And also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge, and afterwards shall they come out. Shall Israel come out? And when they came out, they were going to come out with great substance. And thou shalt go, this is Abraham, and that thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace, and thou shalt be buried in a good old age, but in the fourth generation, they shall, that is his seed, they shall come hither again. That is, they'll come back to the land of Canaan where Abraham was at the time. And there was a reason it was going to take 400 years. It was going to take till the fourth generation because the iniquity of the Amorites was not yet full. God gave a time for repentance, and they would not. They did not. They would not. They did not want to. And when Israel would come back, their coming back would be a judgment upon the Amorites. But what I want you to notice is that God is giving this promise to a man whom He had called out of Ur of the Chaldees to show him a land that He was going to give to him. God was going to give the land to Abraham and to his seed. At the time that God made him that promise, he had no seed. And it is in this passage, if you go back to the first part of the passage, you look in Genesis chapter 15, verse 5, God brought Abraham forth abroad, or brought him outside, and he said, look now toward the heaven and tell the stars if thou be able to number them. And God said to Abraham, so shall thy seed be. You're going to have a great posterity. Now what I want you to understand is that was foretold of Israel before they ever went into the land of a strange language that didn't speak their language, before they went into Egypt where they would become servants, before they spent 400 years. God had told Abraham this was going to come to pass. It was going to come to pass for God's reasoning, and it was going to come to fulfillment in a greater way than they could imagine. When the house of Jacob, remember that at the time when Abraham was there, there was no child. The first one was Isaac, and his son was Jacob. And of Jacob there came 12 sons, and of them came the 12 tribes of Israel, the house of Jacob. There were 70 people who went down into Egypt at Joseph's invitation. It's been estimated that there probably were more than 2 million that came out 400 years later. They were slaves. They were abused. They were mistreated. They had to work hard. All of that went on. And yet none of that stopped God's plan. When the house of Jacob came out when God's plan was fulfilled, when the house of Jacob came out of that land. You remember Joseph? Passage of scripture that I like to preach on. Joseph, when he came to die, he told his brothers, his family that would go out. He said, "Now God will surely bring you out, and when you go, you take my bones with you." There was full expectation that Jacob was going to come out. When Jacob came out, Judah was God's sanctuary. God could be found among Judah in a special way and in a special relationship. Israel was His dominion. They were His people where He ruled by His law in a different way than all the rest of the earth. You look at what that psalm calls them to remember. When Israel went out from Egypt, the house of Jacob from a people of strange language, Judah was His sanctuary and Israel His dominion. You see, folks, there is the same promise given to us today. That's not just a statement of history. There's not just a fact of something that happened over there long ago. You see, God still has a people in the earth. God has a people that are His by His choice and His design and His plan and under the effect of His promise and His assurance. We read those passages of Scripture. There are several that you could go to. But one of the clearest is in Ephesians chapter 1. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places." Now, Israel went down as the people of Jacob, and they went in as shepherds. They came out wealthy and expecting an inheritance. God has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places according as He hath chosen us in Him from the foundation of the world. Well, that chosen people are God's Israel. No, the chosen people are the ones that Christ redeemed. The book of the Revelation tells us that He redeemed a people out of every nation, every kindred, every tongue, and every tribe. That's us, folks. God calls us out of a land of strange language. We don't fit in this world. We're not of this world. The things that we hear today are troubling to us. It sounds strange language. But you'll see, according as He has chosen us in Him. When? Before the foundation of the world. Just like He had chosen Abraham before all of this ever started unfolding. God has His people in this world, and it will be according to His plan and His time and His purpose that we should be holy and without blame. Before, you don't get to run amok just because you're God's child. It is that you should be holy and blameless. Well, I'm a sinner. Yeah, you are. But the idea of being blameless is that you don't intentionally violate His law and His instruction and His plan. People don't point a finger at you and say, "Yeah, you're guilty of this." Well, I've done it. Yeah, but I've repented. I don't do it every day. That I should be holy, having predestinated us into the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He has made us accepted in the Beloved. Israel, Judah, was His sanctuary. What goes on in a sanctuary? A sanctuary is a house of worship. God's people are His place of worship. This is a sanctuary, and we come here at appointed hours. But you understand that your body is the sanctuary of the Lord. Your body is His dwelling place. You are His dominion. You are His people where He rules by His law and by His word and by the redeeming blood of His Son, Jesus Christ. You see, folks, there is our hope. Our hope is in God who is gracious. Our hope is in God who is merciful. Our hope is in God who is wise. Our hope is in God who does not change. You see, this passage of Scripture reminds us of some things that God had done. God, by His gracious choice, chose Abraham and all that would come out. Oh, I'm not of Abraham. Let me ask you, are you? Bible says that Abraham believed God. He became the father of the faithful. If you have the gift of faith, yeah, you are of that same line that Abraham was, a recipient of the gift of grace which produces faith in your life. You see, God produced the faith in Abraham. God guided Abraham. God preserved Abraham. That's what He's done for us. He brought them out of Egypt by the blood of the Passover lamb. 1 Corinthians chapter 5 tells us that Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. As He brought them out from under the condemnation of death and the death angel by the blood of the Lamb, so He has brought us out of the condemnation of death over our sin by the blood of the Lamb. That's the work of God. Gracious, merciful, that's the character of God. Now here's the warning to the world. What's ailing you? You see, the sea saw God's presence in His people. It wasn't that they saw Israel. The sea saw God in Israel. The sea saw the God of Israel, the God who had created the sea. Where did the sea flee? Between a rock and a hard place at the edge of the Red Sea, God said, "Moses, carry my people this way." And he got there and the Egyptians were behind them. They couldn't go to the left or the right. And God said, "Now hold up your rod." Moses held up his rod and an east wind divided the Red Sea. And it backed away and prepared a way for Israel to cross over by the rod of God. You see, folks, God prepared a way for us through the rod, Jesus Christ, of the rod of the house of Jesse. Jesus prepared a way for us through the flood. The world was created by God, by the Lord Jesus Christ. John tells us that there was not anything made without Jesus Christ. He is the Creator. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. All three equal. All three in one. Boy, that's big. I don't know how to explain it easily enough just to say, "Well, yeah, I see that." All I can tell you is that's what the book said. When did the river go back? When they came to the Jordan River and the feet of the priest that carried the ark, which is an emblem of Jesus Christ, when they walked into that water that flooded its banks, it stopped and backed up and ran on off and gave them an open way to go across. When did the hills leap and skip? You don't think of a mountain being like a ram, do you? Jumping from one place to another. A hill like a little lamb bouncing around and jumping, skipping. But if you go back over into the book of Exodus, you go with me into Exodus chapter 19. You look with me in Exodus chapter 19, verses 17 and 18. Moses brought forth the people out of the camp to meet with God. They stood at the nether part of the mount, and Mount Sinai was altogether on a smoke because the Lord descended upon it in fire, and the smoke ascended out of the furnace, and the whole mount quaked greatly. The mount shook. The mount moved about. The language of the poem, the language of the song in Psalm 114, the mountain skipped. It was moving and shaking. Let me ask you to think about one more place. Matthew chapter 27. Look in verse 50. Jesus is hanging on the cross. Jesus, when He died, Jesus, when He had cried with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. Behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent, and the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after His resurrection, and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. Calvary, where Jesus gave up the ghost, Calvary quaked. The mountains skipped. Why? Because of the presence of the Lord. The next verse says the centurion looked and said, "Truly, this man was the Son of God." Why was it that the earth trembled at the presence of the Lord? At the judging presence of the Lord, at the commanding presence of the Lord, at the leading presence of the Lord. As God worked in His people, the earth saw and trembled. You see, folks, a rebellious earth today is warned that there will be a judgment. And I would tell you today that the earth should tremble because of what's coming. But I will also tell you today, my beloved, that you and I are to come out from among that world. Go over into 2 Corinthians, you'll find that Paul said there, as he wrote to the Corinthian believers, he said, "Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord." Why are we to be separate? You and I are to be God's sanctuary. You and I are to be the place of God's dominion. And as the world sees God work in His church, there will be a trembling. There will be rebellion. There will be those who don't want any part of it. But I'm going to tell you, the reality is there should be a trembling at the presence of the Lord. You and I should tremble in reverence at the One who loved us enough to lay our condemnation on His own pure, blessed, unsullied, unscarred Son. And yet He put our iniquities on Him. If that don't make you shake, the writer of the old gospel song said, "I should have been crucified." The pain He felt was meant for me. The crown of thorns should have been mine. I should have been crucified. Yet Jesus, God's Son, took my place. The awfulness of that hour that happened on Calvary is the liberty that we sit today. Oh, it was grievous when the death angel passed through Egypt, but the death angel brought the liberty of God's sanctuary. Calvary was a harsh place, but Calvary is what brought the liberty of God's sanctuary. And I'll tell you, folks, while the earth will tremble at the command of her Creator, we ought to tremble in reverence at the mercy and the grace of our Heavenly Father, who commanded His Son to die in our stead. Father, for this cause came I into this world for this hour. Brothers and sisters, you and I are the sanctuary and the domain. He rules in our lives. We are the place of His domain. Well, He rules the whole world. He does. But as His children, we are specified as His dominion. His instruction is in a special place, a special way. Folks, you and I are like the house of Jacob. You and I are God's sanctuary. The world will flee. All the world, the world will not defeat the church of Jesus Christ. The world might put us to death. We may die, but Jesus said, don't fear the one that can destroy the body. Fear the one that can cast the soul into hell. You see, Jesus will not allow His church to be destroyed. The church at Ephesus is no longer in place. The church at Thyatira is no longer in place. The church at Philadelphia is no longer in place. But the church of Jesus Christ is still in the earth. And I'll tell you today, folks, you and I ought to tremble and worship that we are the sanctuary of the Lord. The world ought to tremble in fear of judgment. We ought to tremble in reverence at the God of mercy and grace. And we ought to follow Him. When you look at the words of that song, tremble thou earth at the presence of the Lord, at the presence of the God of Jacob, which turned the rock, something as hard as rock, turned it into standing water. He made water come out of a rock. Out of the hardness of our heart, His Holy Spirit flows. Water, a river of life, comes out of the heart that He changes. Would we tremble today at the reverence, at the mercy of God? Or do we tremble because we don't like what God's doing? We think we got to do something else. Tremble. Like a ram would skip with a quaking mountain. Like waters would fall back before Him. Tremble in worship at the presence of the Lord. Folks, I'm going to tell you where God is a powerful place. God's in His church. And He said to Moses at a burning bush, Moses, take your shoes off your feet, for the ground whereon thou standest is holy ground. As His sanctuary, as His dominion, you stand on holy ground. May we walk that way, is my prayer for Christ's sake.